BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello.
Now it's turning me to the left. Turning me right a bit.
Is it a long cane?
Oh, it's turning me sharp left now. Oh, that's exciting.
Is it a guide dog? No. But something's doing the steering.
90 degrees there.
All will be revealed later when we visit one of the world's biggest assistive technology exhibitions. But first, the organisation Retina UK needs your help. It describes itself as the only charity in the UK which specifically focuses on inherited sight loss. These are conditions which tend to be progressive. They can involve changes in your degree of sight as you grow older. Retina UK is about to conduct a new survey of people with such conditions to discover more about how people cope and what further help they can be offered. Tina Garvey is Retina UK's chief executive. Tina, first of all, tell us a bit more about the kind of conditions you're talking about, because some of these are quite well known and some of them are much rarer.
Yes, there are some niche factors to having an inherited retinal dystrophy. It can run through families. It can bring on sight loss slowly or quickly. So it really is a group of rare conditions with a genetic diagnosis. So almost like a group of micro conditions. So there are some that are very well known, such as Stargardt's and Usher's. But there are some genes where there may only be a few people in the country who are living with that specific genetic defect.
And what is it that you're really trying to find out? What do you want people to tell you?
So we've been doing this tracker survey now for 6 years. This is our third survey. But basically, it does four things for us. One is that Retina UK is a community-led organisation. And the insight that we get from our community lets us know where they're at, what they're up to, what their challenges are. But it also helps us gather insights so we can do the very best for this community. And we want to know how we can make the biggest impact on their lives quickly. And that's the most important thing. It also helps us on a secondary level to support the 3,500 amazing professionals that are in contact with Retina UK to further improve their knowledge and ability to support this niche group of people. And we've already seen an increase in our referrals of 250% year on year. So that's a really strong secondary reason to do this survey.
Are there particularly people who you want to hear from? You know, are there groups in the community who you feel have been underrepresented, you think, perhaps in previous surveys?
So we want to hear from anyone living with inherited sight loss, both parents, carers and their child's perspectives as well in those families. So we did find out in 2022 that only 9% of our respondents were under the age of 35 and 94% were from a white background. So we're really looking to try and target people under 30s and people from different ethnic backgrounds so we can get a really good spread of what this community as a whole needs.
Can you give us examples of the kind of thing that you've been able to do, you know, as a result of the couple of surveys you've already done?
Absolutely. So there's two main statistics that came out of our first survey that really stuck with us. One was the amount of people, or relatively low number of people, who could name their genetic diagnosis. It was 16%. And that felt really, really low, both for family planning purposes, but also for research and future treatment purposes. We really needed to try and get that number up. And I'm delighted to say that by 2022, that had doubled. So over a third of people could name their genetic disease type. Now, we think this is in part down to the development of a new project, Unlock Genetics, which is an online resource to really empower the community to ask the right questions, push for that genetic diagnosis. So when treatments come along or clinical trials or even information on their specific gene, we are able to give it to them easily. The second statistic that was really stark to us is the amount of people who had had some psychological impacts because of their sight loss. So only 7% of respondents said that they didn't have any impacts like this. So we launched another project called Discover Wellbeing, which you can do independently online or you can do it with a human mentor. And what that's designed to do is to stop people getting to crisis point.
Tina, RNIB and Fight for Sight have done their own surveys recently. Is there a risk of duplication here? I mean, we know about the financial problems that some visual impairment charities are having. So no. It would be a bad thing, wouldn't it, if we were all doing the same thing with the same results?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And I certainly couldn't talk on behalf of Fight for Sight and RNIB. But at Retina UK, we are very focused on the specific aspects of having an inherited retinal condition. And there are differences with living with an inherited condition that is different to other sight loss conditions. And we really do focus on that and how we can support in that niche area.
So how can people take part in your survey, given that they will, by definition, be visually impaired?
Exactly. So we pride ourselves on being totally accessible. So you can visit our website, where you will find the survey link on the homepage. But we can also do this by telephone. So if you would like to ring our helpline, it is on the website. But the number is 01280 821 334, and any of our staff will be more than happy to help you go through the survey on the phone, if that makes it easier. We can also send you a paper copy in large print from our office. And if you do speak another language, please do get in touch with us, because we will absolutely do our best to endeavour to find somebody to do it in your own language, because we are really, really keen to get everybody's viewpoint.
And what's the closing date?
It closes on the 25th of April, so plenty of time to get in touch with us.
Tina Garvey, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Now, the development of assistive technology moves ever faster, so fast, in fact, that it's not always easy to find out exactly what's available and what's going to be useful to you. Perhaps the world's biggest showcase for it is the CSUN Assistive Technology Conference, which has just had its 40th annual showcase in Los Angeles. There, on his own account, was Gary O'Donoghue, fresh from the Royal Television Society Award for his stellar reporting immediately after the attack on Donald Trump. And Emma Tracy, another of our reporters and presenter of Access All. That's the BBC podcast focusing on disability and mental health. So hello to both of you.
Hello.
Gary, hello. First of all, briefly, just explain the scope and significance of CSUN.
It's vast. It is the premier conference every year for disability equipment, software, services. Everyone's there, not just disability organisations and companies, but big Silicon Valley players, Amazon, Google, Microsoft. And it's a sort of a combination of a conference with people presenting papers and having workshops and that sort of thing, with vendors, you know, displaying their wares. I think this time well north of sort of 4,500 delegates were there. So it's a pretty big organisation, and it's the place to go to see what's new, and people hold on to stuff to show it at CSUN when it's new.
OK, so now to the equipment which you two did a kind of double act with. It's called Glide, and this is what happened when they let you both loose on it.
It's a very strange sensation. It really does steer you, doesn't it?
It really does steer you. You're moving much more quickly than you have been over the last couple of days with your cane.
Interesting. Oh, I can hear something there that has steered us around. So let me look at the bottom of it. So it's got two wheels. It's got a sort of handly bit on the front.
That's a bumper.
The bumper.
So when you stand it up,
yes,
it stays standing up.
And it looks like a sort of kettle bit, sort of potty kettle type thing.
A potty kettle?
Well, you know, sort of kettle. Look, the wheels are spinning while it's in the air.
It's got a rim of LEDs.
Oh, has it?
To kind of keep you safe if it's dark.
Oh, that's clever. So it shines in the outdoors. Yeah. Oh, it's not very happy, is it?
It's like a dog that's been picked up.
And it's like a thick sort of vacuum cleaner handle.
It does
made of
feel
metal.
A little bit like taking your cordless vacuum for a while.
It does. It's got these two cameras on the front, which if you put your hand in front of the front, it goes
mad. That's on this version, but there's a newer version that doesn't have... You can't feel the cameras. They're all slick inside the handle.
And it's got some buttons on the handle, which align with where your fingers are when you're holding it, which is they're going to do something at some point in the future.
And it won't be that noisy.
I'm not sure I mind it being that noisy, to be honest.
Well, I could definitely hear where you were in the last.
Could you? Yes. That may be a disadvantage or an advantage.
My name is Amos Miller. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Glidance. So Glide is a personal mobility aid that uses autonomous driving technology to guide the person, and really providing an alternative option alongside the cane and the guide dog. I would say that it provides blind people with another tool in the toolbox. What it does is, as you walk forward, it guides the person by steering its wheels. The user holds the handle, nudges the device forward, and the wheels steer a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, guiding the person.
And by the time you release it, it's going to do more than stopping you bumping into things, right?
Well, so what it does now is it looks for a path, a safe path to guide you on, and it attempts to steer you around obstacles. But if you're going too fast or if somebody jumps in front of it too quickly, if it can't steer you around, it will apply the brakes.
But you're going to have some GPS elements in it, so it can take you to certain places. You're going to have some AI, yes. So you can talk to the thing and it can give it instructions.
That's right. So the first bar is what we call freestyle navigation. That's when the user knows the route and Glide keeps them safe, helps them to locate targets in the environment. Once we have that in place, we can then plug it into navigation maps where you can walk into a hotel and we make an AI query like, hey, Glide, what's going on around here? And Glide will say, there's a reception desk, there's elevators, yeah, and you can turn one of those objects that it can see into a target that Glide will guide you to.
Obviously, we're still in prototype at this point. When will the people in the UK be able to get hold of it and how much will it cost them?
So we have our pioneers, the people who have pre-ordered the device, will start to use the devices this fall and early winter. We'll then open up for sales likely in the beginning of 26.
Amos, I need to come in here.
Yes, Emma.
Obviously, I'm particularly concerned about what it looks like. At the moment, it's a little bit like taking a little cordless vacuum for a walk. Can I change how it looks?
So one of the things that we are looking at is how people can customize the look with wraps, with accessories, you know, that you can personalize your device in the way that many people like to personalize their canes today and phones and everything else. So absolutely.
Okay. And what will it cost? What is the cost?
So in the US, it's $1,500, so $1,499 and a $30 subscription, and we'll do the conversion for UK. And
so you won't do a straight £1,500?
No.
Because that happens a lot.
It does happen.
Okay, maybe we'll do that. No. I was saying to the team yesterday that InTouch is one of the most cherished programs on the BBC.
Still going after still 50 going. Years away.
Well, if he thinks that will make us be nice about it, he's got another thing coming. Emma, I mean, just quickly, is it a goer?
I think it has an awful lot of potential. They're very honest and clear about the fact that it isn't ready yet and there's a lot more to do. And that development will just continue and continue because it's full of AI jiggery-pokery, so it'll be learning as it goes along. So yes, I think it is something, either it or some sort of similar item made by maybe another person, because once the other companies see Glide, they'll want to get on board. I do think it is something that will be useful. I can see there being a robot in my life in 5 or 10 years' time.
Well, I heard Amos say at some point that it might well appeal to older visually impaired people. Do you think that's true?
I think what Amos is hoping for is that it has a much, much smaller learning curve than learning how to use a cane. And then in terms of learning how to use a dog as well, but obviously dogs, there are waiting lists, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the small learning curve, they would hope, would make it easier for people to just take it out and use it very quickly. And also it would be readily available to be just sent to them. And it could happen that they would use it much earlier in their sight loss journey, because as we know, many people who are blind have lost their sight over time.
Gary, what about you?
Yeah, I was saying to Em when I got to see some that I was a massive sceptic about this before
I saw it.
Massive sceptic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I warmed to it, actually, the potential for it, certainly. And, you know, even just that first use, you know, I mean, it did stop you banging into things, which, you know, is not insignificant, as you know. And, you know, if they can get all these parts to work together, you know, because £1,500 plus £30 a month is a lot of money to stop banging into things, I think I'll stick with my cane. But if it can do a lot more than that, then I think there's some real potential there. The thing I was struck by is that, you know, I've never had a dog, so I've never had that experience of walking freely, if you like, and trusting something else to stop me falling down steps or walking into something. I mean, Ems, you've had a dog, but I found myself able to trust it kind of reasonably quickly, which I was surprised about.
And just a quick a use case for it, Peter. They were saying, and I can see this, because of the AI, it'll pick up everybody else's routes that have used Glide. So all the Glides will be connected in some way. And one of the use cases was going from your aeroplane, if you're getting a flight, to like wherever you want, like your baggage claim or the taxi or something, which is something that, you know, blind people waiting for assistance, etc., that can be really difficult.
Okay, let me move you on, because there were loads of things, obviously, at that exhibition. We can't cover many of them, really. But Emma, anything else that just took your fancy?
I don't know if it took my fancy, but it certainly caught my interest. I had a go at some shoe inserts. They're called Ashirase. No idea why they're called that, but they're Honda's first startup. They're due to launch in the US at $500 with a little, I think, $2 a month subscription on top. And basically, they go into trainer style shoes. So you'd have to wear trainers all the time, Peter, if you're going to use these. They are attached to an app and they vibrate at different speeds depending on how far or close or farther away you are from your destination on the route. The left one vibrates if you need to turn left, and the right one vibrates if you need to turn right. And if you want to reset it, I can hear you all sniggering there.
Well, we can hear Gary sniggering. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want to reset it, you don't have to press the button on your phone, Peter. Do you know what you do instead?
Stamp your foot.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. And to be honest, they were really, really accurate in terms of the turns.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily something I would get, but I was willing to give it a good ass shot and I wasn't disappointed.
Be brief, Gary. I must let you just react because we've heard
it's
you
just sneak. The weirdest thing I've ever seen.
All right. Pick something more sensible then in your eyes. One thing.
Oh, God,
that
he's
really...
going to start talking about braille displays now, Peter.
No, I'm not. Although there was a lovely braille display that I envy and want so much. But it's $12,500, so that will never happen.
Right, we won't bother to ask you what that does.
No. But the one thing, I'll tell you what, I spent some money, and I only spent money on one thing there, and that was I did a pre-order for some new smart glasses that are coming on the market. Now, wearables, as they call them, are the big thing, and we know, and we've talked before on In Touch about the Meta Ray-Ban glasses and how you can... You can use the AI to describe things, to read things, to tell you what's going on, but you can also use them to hook up to video interpretation services like Aira and Be My Eyes, and they can guide you through that camera on your head. So, you know, we all know as blind people, you never have enough hands. You've only got two. That's not enough. There's a cane in one hand, there's a bag in another. You can't hold a phone.
A shoe in the third.
Shoe in the third. And so there's there are people developing new smart glasses, and I saw a pair made by a company called Echo Vision, or a company called Agiga, but the product's called Echo Vision. And I thought that the brief demo we had was very promising.
Gary O'Donoghue, Emma Tracy, thank you both very much. And that's it for today. Questions and comments, please. We'd particularly like to hear from anyone who has comments or questions resulting from last week's green paper on possible changes, including cuts to the benefits system. We'll be seeking answers to those questions in the coming weeks. Email intouch@bbc.co.uk or leave voice messages on 0161 836 1338. From me, Peter White, and producer Beth Hemmings, goodbye.